And that song, that chorus that we sing, I too wish they would have had the whole song in there rather than just the chorus. But that's a testimony of faith in itself. To sing, it will be worth it all. How do we know? Well, we accept that by what?
Faith.
We accept that by faith. That's what we can sing, and what gives us the song in our heart is trusting God's word and knowing that we can count on Him. We're going to be having the same title. This is part two. Andrew, you had Unsurpassed Care last week, I think. This will be Unsurpassed Care part two. And Lord willing, we'll finish this one this evening. We enjoyed that unusual testimony meeting last Sunday evening. It seemed like everybody. And that was great, wasn't it? It was great. I contemplated just maybe saying, hey, why don't we just have a little singspiration here? But I didn't. And that was a blessing. But we didn't get very far in that 34th psalm. And that's where we want to turn to again this evening. Unsurpassed prayer as we turn to this portion and see these verses which highlights God's care for His own. I'll give you a minute to find that, and then we'll just ask the Lord to speak to our hearts once again. Our Father, as we return to a portion we looked at last week, I pray that You would continue to bless us with the truth that's before us. We thank You that we can trust Your word, and we can sing about the unknown, because that's what we're thinking about, even in the words of the song that we just finished singing. You've given us some glimpses, You've given us some hints of what's ahead, but You've said we really can't imagine it. It hasn't even entered into our hearts, the things that are waiting for those that know You as their own personal Savior and have become a child of Yours. So we look forward to that. And we do believe, we are trusting that as we look at the way things are shaping up in the world, we can't help but think that the return of our Savior is so close. Help us to keep on keeping on. May You find us faithful when You return. We thank You now for this in Your name. Amen. Well, we were looking at Psalm 34, and we saw, we wanted to look at verses 15 through 22 in these verses and see how God cared for His own. And we only got a chance to look at verse 15, which talks about the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. Benny was taken to the hospital the next morning. They were here last Sunday night and they heard that. I went to visit him in the hospital on Tuesday morning and we were talking about the Lord's goodness, and I made reference to this, knowing that we had just looked at this on Sunday night. And in prayer with Benny, I just thanked the Lord for this precious truth, that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And to be reminded that the Lord was watching out for Benny. The Lord knew exactly what was going on. And as we are praying, asking the Lord, talking to the Lord about His health, we were able to thank the Lord that His ears are open to the prayer of His own. And I couldn't help but think, even as I had that time with him, This is what God's word should be to us. It should be to us the opportunities to see how it works, see how it applies in our lives. And when we have just looked at something, what a blessing it is to go back and think, wait a minute, we just talked about this. His eyes are open. Oh, his eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are open. I trust, I didn't ask any of you, but I hope that was something that was a blessing to you, some of you, this week, just to remember those two truths. That's as far as we got in that one verse. But we'll pick up when we move on to 16 tonight. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Let's see here. Psalm 34. Pardon? Yeah, I know. I know, but what I have written here, I'm wondering, don't tell me that my, sometimes my fan blows my Bible when I'm studying. Okay, well, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them. Well, let's turn to these two references that I have when it says that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I have Genesis 19:13, and I have a reference in Ezekiel. In Genesis 19:13, it says here, this is the time when the angels were sent to the city of Sodom. And this is right, it's just, I didn't realize at first how this was working out. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This is the time when Abram was told that he was going to destroy Sodom for their extreme wickedness. And that's when Abraham negotiated with God, got him to agree that if he could find, he started out by asking, if you could find 50 righteous, would you spare bringing judgment on the evil? Yes, I would. Got down to 10. And God said, I would spare that city if I could find 10 true righteous people. Well, he couldn't. And God sent his angels. And we find that Lot met them there in the city. And they were going to spend the night in the street. And Lot, knowing what the men of the city were famous for, he said, oh no, you got to spend the night in my house. And we know the incident, don't we? The men of the city began pounding on Lot's door, and they said, "You got some men. We'll send them out to us." And Lot said, "No, I'm not going to do that." This is one of those times where, do you appreciate the honesty of Scripture? I do, but sometimes I don't. What do you mean by that, Pastor? As Lot was standing out there negotiating with these wicked men of the city, I wish we didn't have verse 8 in there. Because I think of a man with some daughters that were still pure. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you can do to them whatever you want. Oh my. I appreciate the honesty of Scripture, but sometimes I don't. This is one of those examples, one of those times where I wish that isn't in there. And by the way, those of you that are in John's Sunday school class, do you know that truths like this is one of the reasons to believe the inspiration of the Bible? Because someone has said the Bible is not a book that men would write if they could, and it is not a book that they could write if they would or wanted to. What do you mean by that first statement? It's not a Bible that they would write if they could. Man likes to present what side of humanity? The good side. But the tragic thing of it is, God doesn't try to soft soap sin and weakness in human hearts, does he? I can't imagine why Lot would do that, but he did. And of course the angels said, no way, and you stand out of the way. They struck the men outside the city with blindness, and they told Lot in verse 13, that's the verse that we're looking for, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. The face of the Lord, our text in verse 16 is, he is against them that do evil. He's against them that do evil. And we find that's exactly an example of it with the angels there. In Ezekiel 14, 7 and 8, we find these words. Ezekiel 14, 7 and 8 on that same point. It says, for everyone of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling blocks of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of that prophet concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Another example, when individuals would turn their eyes away from him and turn to evil, the rest of that 16th verse says, the face of the Lord would be against them to do what? Cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Notice, if you would, in Psalm 37, turn just a page or two, at verses 9 and 10, it says, evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and what? It shall not be. I know sometimes we get discouraged. We get discouraged at the wickedness of all that is around us. I know I do, and I know you folks do too. And sometimes I find myself asking, when, Lord? When? How come you're letting these people succeed and get away with it? But we need to keep reminding ourselves of the truth of God's Word. God's Word has promised us here in 37, 9 and 10 that these evildoers are going to be cut off. And he says, just a little while. Well, we need to take that for what the Lord means. Remember when the book of Revelation closed, the words of the Lord, behold, I come what? Quickly, it's been over 2,000 years. Well, we take this the same way, yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. You'll try to find his place, and he said, there won't even be any record of what he was doing. Another example would be in Proverbs 10, verse 7. Let me read that for you. In Proverbs 10, 7, it says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. What's he saying? The memory of the just is blessed. I don't believe we interpret that as saying that, well, the person who is righteous, the just person, they're going to have a great memory. They're not going to forget things. What I believe this is saying is what people remember about the just is going to be blessed. But the name of the wicked shall rot. That reminds me of what we started out a few weeks ago with integrity. As I think of Mark's truck and that proverb that he used to have painted on there, Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. The memory of the just shall be blessed. So, as we look at this 16th verse, we see the evidence of the Lord, his care for his own, his eyes are upon them, his ears are open to their prayer. And in verse 16, the psalmist reminds us, the Lord is watching, and he knows the kind of people that we are dealing with. We are in the midst of ravening wolves and in the den of lions in this world. The Lord is watching over us, and he is against the ones that are doing evil, and he will deal with them in his time. Doesn't that bring great comfort to your heart? I trust it does. Verse 17. It tells us here that the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Let's go back to Psalm 20 and look at the first four verses. Psalm 20, 1 through 4. It says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy purpose or counsel. The Lord hears and answers. And here he says, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. In Psalm 50, verse 15, the psalmist said this. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify thee. Thou shalt glorify me. Let's go back and take another look at this. Verse 17, though, When it says the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Does that mean God always takes his own out and spares them and nothing bad ever happens to them? As I was thinking of this, I was reminded, turn with me if you would to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen went down in church history as what? Do you remember?
First martyr
for Christ. And Luke recorded for us his testimony, and he had recorded for us the incident that led up to his martyrdom. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but notice in verse 55, but he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. The righteous cry, it tells us in Psalm 34, verse 17, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. True or false? Did God hear Stephen? Did God deliver Stephen out of all his troubles? Yes, he did. And the point I'm making is that let's not think in our minds, well, this verse here in Psalm 34 or 17 says that we just pray, the Lord hears, and we won't have any more troubles. It's going to deliver us out of our troubles. It may be that the Lord's will to deliver you or me out of our troubles may be the very means he chose for Stephen. And if that's true, thank God for his faithfulness to his own. Amen. Yeah, it's hard for us to say amen about being persecuted to death. We hope it never happens in this country, like believers in many parts of the world. Is the Lord unfaithful to those believers in those other parts of the world who are hauled off to prison there? They're locked up sometimes for years and years. Is the Lord delivering them? Is he answering yes? How can he be delivering them behind bars for years? Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, for 3 times I sought the Lord to remove this thing from me. And what was the Lord's answer to Paul When Paul said, take this trouble from me, what was the answer? My grace is sufficient for you. The Lord will give grace in the midst of the troubles as his answer to our prayer. If that is his will for us to endure something and go through something, the fact that Christians are suffering around the world is not a testimony that God doesn't hear their prayer and the fact that he doesn't deliver them out of all their troubles. He is showering them with their grace. He is giving them the ability. He will give you and me the grace to go through whatever he wants for you and me to go through according to his will. That's one of those things that we pray and ask the Lord, help me to trust as we think about a testimony of being fearful and lacking faith. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where, when we find verses like this, that's when it is good to remind ourselves of this. Lord, I just thank you that your ears are open. You, the righteous, cry and you hear and you deliver them out of all, that word's there, all their troubles. Well, Lord, I'm hoping you're going to make this short, but if not, I thank you that you are going to give me the grace to be delivered from all of the terror this trouble might bring, because you've said you will deliver. If you don't take it away, you're going to give me the grace to endure it. And if it's your will, like Stephen, you will just deliver me out of my troubles by taking me home. What could be better if you're not going to have the trouble go away? You say, well, Pastor, you're way out on left field this evening. Well, I trust not. This is good news for God's own. Let's go on to verse 18. It says, the Lord is near or nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite, my Bible says, a crushed spirit. Well, he's near unto those that are of a broken heart. In Psalm 145, verse 18, the psalmist said this, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He's promised us in his word, call unto me and I will what? Answer thee. The Lord, we can count on him. When we find ourselves in a jam, when we find ourselves brokenhearted, where should we be turning as a believer? To the Lord. Why should I turn there? Because I can count on his word. The Lord has said that he's near to those that are of a broken heart. How does he know what my heart is experiencing? How does he know what I'm feeling? We know the answer to that, don't we? Man looks on where? The outward appearance. But what is God looking on? God is looking upon that broken heart. And God is just waiting for you to call unto him. Talk to him about that broken heart. In Psalm 51:15-17, let's turn a few pages here. Psalm 51, 15 through 17. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my heart shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, wilt thou not despise. We often think of a broken heart as a bad thing. What does this verse tell us? God loves to see our hearts broken of what? Self. Self. God does not want to see us depending upon ourselves. And he wants us to come to the point where we are confessing to him we have nothing in ourselves. We are depending upon him. We are looking to him. And that is what God delights to see. In Isaiah 66:2, the prophet said, "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look." Here's the person I will look to. "Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." The one that has the broken heart, the one that has reached the end of themselves and is coming to the Lord and calling upon him, that is the very one that the Lord is close to. Verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That is both an Old Testament principle and a New Testament principle, that the righteous, if someone is truly going to take a stand for the Lord and live for the Lord and claim the Lord, what are they going to get in return from the world?
Persecution.
"Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It was true in the Old Testament, it's true in the New Testament time, and it is true in our time. We need to remind ourselves that true Christianity is not fitting in, blending in, and donning camel clothes so nobody knows what's going on. But true Christianity is what? Their life is different. Correct? In Acts 14, verse 22, it tells us here that the Apostle Paul, he gathered some folks around him. It says when he preached the gospel in one city and had taught many, they returned again. Paul and Barnabas were preaching, and they went to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And verse 22 of Acts 14 says this, "Confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Christianity, if you're looking for a Christianity that is a piece of cake, you are not looking for New Testament Christianity. scriptural, biblical, New Testament Christianity is because of the stand we take, we're not going to be the most popular person. Things aren't always going to go so smoothly for us because we're doing something wrong. No, but because of what the Lord said, in me you're going to suffer. If I've suffered, you're going to suffer when you align yourself with me. We go back to our 19th verse in Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But just like we saw a while ago, he delivers them out of their troubles. We know, and we won't go back there, but we know how God chooses to deliver. He can make the problem go away. He can give us grace to endure it. Or he can just simply say, come on home. It's time for you to come to your reward. But he delivers his own. As we think in verse 20 concerning the righteous, it says he keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. And I think of examples of no harm to the Lord's own, unless God intends them to be harmed. I give you Daniel. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. By all rights, he should have been what? Cat food. That's exactly what the king thought was going to happen to him. But Daniel cried out to the king the next morning. The Lord sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. You see, God delivered his righteous. It was not God's time for Daniel to be taken home to glory. And if it's not your time, and it's not my time, then we need not walk in fear. Oh, that's not that we dare trouble in the face, but that we can have peace knowing that the Lord is watching over us, our times are in his hands, and that there is nothing that is going to happen to us that he has not allowed and does not will. Peter was another example of he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. He was having a good sleep in the jail the night before the king was going to kill him, and an angel came and smacked him on the side and said, wake up, it's time to travel. We're getting out of here. And as Peter awakened and saw that angel, he began to realize that the chains had fallen off, the doors were opening before them, and the angel safely led Peter out of that prison, walked a block with him and said, you're on your own now, the Lord bless you. And he said, why don't you go to such and such a house? They're praying about this very thing tonight. You ought to let them know that God's answered their prayer. What version is that? Well, that's Jared's version. But that's exactly what Peter did. He went and he knocked at the door and he said, guess what? God's answered your prayer. I'm a free man. Praise the Lord, he did deliver. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. I can give you Psalm 94, verse 23. And that says this. He shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Well, he says here in our text, evil is going to slay the wicked, and the ones that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And that's what the psalmist said in Psalm 94, 23. I'll read it for you, Psalm 145, 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Finally, we'll close with this last verse so that we can conclude this one this evening. The Lord redeemeth, verse 22, the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. We see God's care in this particular verse. In Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12, the psalmist said this: "The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is that man that trusteth in thee." As we think about God's care, our time is gone, but for you note takers, jot down John 10, 27 through 29. Jot down Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And in both of those, John account and Romans, we see God's protective care for his own. Nothing can take us out of his hands. Well, we have rushed through this tonight. I trust, as we have been reminded of this collection of verses which have highlighted God's care for his own, something along the way has been a blessing and a help to you. Let's stand and we'll close and be dismissed with prayer. Thank you, Father, for this precious truth. We pray that you would help us to take it to heart. I pray that you would bring back to our remembrance when we need these truths the most. Give us safety as we travel home. We thank you for your goodness now.